NBC Newsroom in New York, presented by Pillsbury. Is it too soon after the Christmas feast to tempt you with the thought of pie? I'm talking about really wonderful pie. Light, tender, flaky-crusted pie, made with a new Pillsbury pie crust mix. That's good news to a man almost any time. Pie crust with a rich, appetizing flavor of fine shortening and other top-quality ingredients. Pie crust so tender, it cuts at the touch of a fork. Pie crust so delicious that this new Pillsbury product has quickly become America's largest selling pie crust mix. Get several packages tomorrow and see just how delicious a homemade pie can be. And now, Bob Trout with the latest news.
Sumner Wells heads the news this afternoon, the former Undersecretary of State in an oxygen tent in Washington's Casualty Hospital, apparently after suffering a heart attack. Mr. Wells was found on the grounds of his Maryland home early this morning. He'd been lying in that bitter cold for many hours, his clothes frozen to his body. The servants say Sumner Wells had been very much disturbed over the death of Lawrence Duggan, the former State Department employee who fell to his death here in New York this past week. Mr. Wells had not been sleeping well. Apparently, he'd gone for a walk late at night and fallen unconscious. He remained exposed to the freezing weather all night long. The doctors say he will recover, but they won't know for a while just how serious his condition is. President Truman took a walk today, another one of his early morning constitutionals on the icy streets of Independence, Missouri. Once the president slipped, and the Secret Service men grabbed his arm to save him from a possible fall. Later, Mr. Truman ate a second Christmas dinner, more turkey, this time at his brother's home in nearby Grandview. It was cold everywhere in the nation on this lazy Sunday after Christmas, the day the British call Boxing Day. Even Los Angeles suffered with the mercury in the 30s, the coldest Southern California Christmas in more than 30 years. Only Florida proudly announces its temperatures today, 69 in Miami, 74 in Key West. A lot warmer than the 10 degrees above zero here in Radio City, New York this morning. We're not being very careful this Christmas. 240 persons killed in accidents so far this weekend. One bad accident happened to a small tanker, the Captina of Argentine registry, in the treacherous seas off Cape Hatteras. She broke in two, and now the Coast Guard is trying to save the crew of 18 or so clinging to the bow. The aircraft carrier Saipan was plowing at full speed through the cold gray North Atlantic on a course for Greenland, where the 13 stranded aviators wait for rescue from their ice cap. The Navy plans to use helicopters for the rescue, but the Air Force is still trying to make the rescue first, perhaps using a ski plane in the next attempt. The latest news, the Saipan has had to reduce her speed because of an Atlantic gale that has caused considerable damage to the ship. The planes are flying into Berlin on schedule, the American and British airmen carrying their fourth biggest load of cargo as the airlift became 6 months old today. Airplanes also brought a bit of unusual happiness to 12 children in the Pacific, or one airplane anyway, a Pan American Clipper flying from Tokyo to the United States and crossing the international dateline in such a way that Christmas came twice for two successive days, and you can imagine how the 12 children enjoyed that. Bad weather in China, not much fighting news from the freezing battlefronts, but more and more mysterious rumors of peace talks between the government and the communists. And rumors from the Netherlands East Indies that the Dutch have moved some of the Indonesian officials to a secret island. And in Moscow, it's announced Russian communication workers can now wear uniforms. Now for Pillsbury, here is Arthur Gary.
Thank you, Bob Trout. You'll be amazed when you see how quick and easy it is to use Pillsbury pie crust mix. All you do is add water and roll out your pie dough. You can fix a pie shell in the time it takes your oven to heat. And you're sure to turn out perfect pie every time. Remember, there's 9 full ounces in every package of Pillsbury Pie Crust Mix. Ample for a big two-crust pie. Get a package or two at your grocer's tomorrow. Listen again next Sunday at this time for Bob Trout with the news. Brought to you by Pillsbury, greatest name in flour. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ and WMAQ-FM, NBC in Chicago. Ozzy will recall his childhood career as an actor when the Ozzy and Harriet program is on the air at 5:30, and Phil Harris and Alice Faye rummage through their Christmas stockings again with surprising results at 6:30. And then Doc Rockwell takes a stroll down Main Street with his old pal, Fred Allen, 7:30.
You children from 5 to 50, 6 to 60, 7 to 70, 8 to 80, are you sitting around unhappy because you didn't get all you wanted this Christmas? Do you wish, have you ever wished you had everything, everything your little heart desires? If so, then the following program is just the program for you. Listen.
Living 1948, brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliated stations, taking cognizance of the fact that the holiday has come and gone, waves its magic wand over its narrator, Ben Grauer, turning him into a storyteller in its 43rd program into an original post-Christmas fable entitled
The Little Girl Who Had Everything.
Here again, suitably whimsical for the occasion, is Ben Grauer.
Once upon an island named...
Private. Keep out.
In a place called...
Any place.
Some time ago, there lived a little girl who had everything. She was the richest girl on earth. And because she was the richest girl on earth, her father and mother thought for at least 2 hours before they could find just the right name for her.
Mary?
Oh, even poor girls are named Mary.
Barbara?
No.
Mildred? Grace?
No, no.
Jane?
No.
Emily? Pearl?
Oh, that's better. That's warmer. Our little girl is the richest little girl on earth, and a pearl is the richest treasurer of the sea. But it's still not exactly right.
I know just the name. Listen. Precious.
Perfect. We'll call our little girl Precious.
So, that's exactly what they did. And they put her in the biggest bedroom in the castle. What a bedroom. It was so big that when you said,
"Good morning, Precious,"
it echoed,
"Good morning, Precious."
In fact, what a castle. It was so well built, the north wind could blow with all its might and never blow in.
Oh, they got storm windows.
The rain could pour down as thick as soup, but never trickle in.
Oh, they got a slate roof.
And lightning and thunder could flame and crash, but never do any harm.
Oh, they got lightning rods all over the place.
And it's got such a good foundation, no matter how much I thunder, I can't shake it.
That's how fine a house Precious had. I don't believe there was ever a bigger or better or stronger house in the whole wide world. And that's where she grew up. And from the time she was a teeny-weeny little baby, she got everything she could ever want. Do you think she had just one rattle? Oh, no. She had a rattle with little pebbles in it that went like this. And a rattle with a little bell in it that went like this. Indeed, she had so many rattles that if you'd rattle them all together, they'd sound like this. And believe it or not, all she had to do was cry. And somebody would run out and buy her another rattle.
Oopsie, oopsie, oopsie. Oopsie, there. Now, look, Precious. A new rattle.
No, I guess no baby in the world ever had more rattles or bonnets or blankets or booties or underwear. Yes, even more diapers than Precious. And as she grew to where she could toddle around, she got even more things.
Here's a teddy bear, Precious.
Here's a panda, Precious. Here's a stuffed giraffe.
And here's a stuffed elephant.
Here's a stuffed lion.
And here's a stuffed bear.
As for dolls, she not only had dolls that said ma-ma, but dolls that didn't say ma-ma. Dolls that whistled, dolls that walked, dolls you could wash, dolls you weren't supposed to wash. Dolls that slept with their eyes shut, dolls that slept with their eyes open, dolls that kept their underthings dry, dolls that didn't. French dolls, Swiss dolls, Dutch dolls, Greek dolls. Oh, I'd say she had about 1,432 dolls, with 50 trunks of dolls' clothes, and a dollhouse big enough to walk into and go upstairs. And when she grew big enough to have animals for pets, you ought to see what they bought her. A cat, of course.
Meow.
A little dog. A medium-sized dog. And a big dog. A canary. A couple of hundred chickens. Two or three ducks. A Shetland pony. And a cow. That you could milk by electricity. And I'm not even counting such things she had as games and records and cutouts and music boxes and magic sets and... Oh, I could go on and still be here all day and next week, too, before I'd be finished. But all you have to do to picture what she had is to think of something you want awfully bad. Have you? Well, whatever it is, believe me, this little girl had it. Chances are she had 10 or 12 of it. So you can see now why we call this story The Little Girl Who Had Everything. Now, I know what you're saying to yourself. You're saying, gosh, if I were that rich, if I had all those things, why, I... That girl must have been the happiest girl on earth. Well, let me tell you something, my friends. The strange thing about this story is that Precious, the rich little girl who had everything, was not the happiest, but probably the unhappiest little girl who ever lived. Yes, it's the truth. For one thing, every time she as much as sneezed, just one weak, small sneeze, they sent for the doctor. Excuse me, did I say doctor? I mean doctors.
Let me take your temperature.
Let me feel your pulse.
Open your mouth.
Say ah.
Ah.
Say bah.
Bah.
Give her castor oil.
I will.
Make her stay in bed.
Of course, of course.
Don't let her go out of doors for a whole week.
2 weeks.
3 weeks.
Never. Anything you say, doctors.
And all because she just happened to sneeze once. But perhaps the thing that made Precious most unhappy was that she was bored to death. She didn't know what to do with herself. She couldn't eat. She never had any appetite. Every morning, a servant would come up to her great big room with a great big tray of food and ask her,
"What would you like for breakfast, miss? I brought tomato juice, orange juice, fruit cup, grapefruit, eggs and bacon, cereal with box tops, and..."
But all Precious would say is,
"Bring me a prune."
"One prune?"
"One prune."
"With or without the pit, miss?"
"With."
And after she'd eaten her breakfast, she'd sit around all day and sigh.
"Ah-me."
And when she got tired of sitting around ah-meing, she'd lie around and sigh.
"Home-me."
Nobody could understand. Certainly not her father.
"I can't understand it. Precious is the richest child in the world. Wouldn't you think that would make her happy?"
And her mother would say,
"Precious has everything. Wouldn't you think that would make her happy?"
But nevertheless, it was easy to see that in spite of that, their little Precious wasn't content. Finally, one of them got an idea.
"I know. Maybe what she needs is playmates."
Which wasn't a bad idea, as you can well imagine. For stuck out there on that island where she lived with a name like
Private, Keep Out,
which frightened everybody away, there wasn't a single child who dared come out to play with her. So her father and mother sent out buses to pick up every boy and girl within miles and bring them over the long bridge to the island to visit Precious. And of course, not having everything themselves, they were wild to come. Pretty soon, the whole island was full of children running about laughing and shouting to one another and having a wonderful time. But not Precious. Oh, she liked seeing the children, all right, but she couldn't get anywhere near as excited about her toys and animals as they did. When a girl ran up to her and cried, "Let's play with all your dolls, Precious," she said,
"Oh, I've played with those dolls a million times."
And when a boy ran up to her and cried, "Let's ride your Shetland pony," Precious said,
"Oh, I've ridden that pony a million times."
And so it was with everyone and everything else. In spite of having all those children to play with, she was still unhappy. So the buses took all the children back across the long bridge and home. Then her father and mother thought of another idea.
Wonderful,
cried her mother.
I'm sure it will work,
said the father. And guess what they did? They sent way out west and hired a whole tribe of Indians to come and dance just for Precious. But it was no use. Little Precious just sat, waving one little feather, and watched the Indians. Then her parents really began to worry.
Maybe she's sick.
Maybe she has something terrible wrong with her.
So they asked two of the finest doctors in the world, who examined people's minds to see if there was anything the matter with the way they think, to come to the island and examine hers. They came.
What's your name, little girl?
Pudding Kane. Ask me again and I'll tell you the same.
Here, here now, young lady. This is serious business. What is your name?
John Brown. Ask me again and I'll knock you down.
So they went away angry. And Precious stayed just as unhappy as she ever was. Then her parents sent for the wisest man in the whole country.
I'm the wisest man in the whole country. Did you send for me, sir?
Yes. Yes, I'll pay you $1,000,000,028 if you can tell us why our little Precious isn't happy.
I'll do it for nothing.
And he did.
The reason your little Precious is unhappy is because she has everything.
What?
Cried the father.
What?
Cried the mother.
Because she has everything, she has nothing to hope for, wish for, or look forward to. And if you have nothing to hope for, wish for, or look forward to, how can you be happy?
Ridiculous!
Cried the father and mother together. In fact, they even said,
That's silly!
And they sent the wise man away and sat down and worried what to do next. Now, do you remember the wind and the rain and the lightning and the thunder I told you about way back at the beginning of this story? Well, just about this time, each one was getting pretty tired of blowing or raining or lightning or thundering and getting nowhere. So they decided to have a meeting, a joint meeting, to see what could be done.
Attention, please.
Now, that's Mr. North Wind blowing.
I know that, like me, you're all tired of the way that castle on the island keeps ignoring us as if we didn't count for a thing.
Yes, that's right.
Does anybody have any idea what we can do about it?
I do.
Oh, that's Mr. Thunder.
Yes, Mr. Thunder.
Why don't we all get together?
What do you mean?
Join hands, you North Wind, and you Lightning, and you Rain, and me, and really... Go to work on that Tessa.
You mean make a hurricane?
Worse. A hurricane and a typhoon and everything else we know how to make come by.
Oh, yes. Splendid suggestion. Let's put it to a vote. All in favor of sending a combination hurricane and a typhoon and anything else we think of down upon that castle on private island. Say poof.
That's just what they did. The rain rained harder than it had ever rained before. The north wind, helped out by his brothers east, west, and south, blew harder than they had ever blown before. The lightning flashed its newest tricks, and the thunder crashed more than ever before. And all together, they sounded like this. And when they were done, guess what was left on Private Island? Not a brick or a stone or a piece of wood of that castle. Not a doll or a toy of any kind. Not a single animal. Even the bridge that joined the island to the main shore was gone. And so there was Precious, who once had everything, now suddenly with nothing. Not even a roof over her head. And since all her boats were washed away by the storm, as well as the boat that belonged to the others who lived way across the water, they couldn't get to the main shore, and no one on the main shore could get to them. Until someone found a way to reach them, Precious and her father and her mother would have to stay right there on that island, castle or not. And that, I say, is when something strange began to happen to that unhappy little girl. The first time her parents noticed it is when they told her...
Precious, I don't quite know how to tell you this, my dear. And I know you're not going to like it. But until somebody reaches us from the shore and rescues us, we're going to have to live in this cave I found here.
A cave?
I'm afraid so, dear.
Live in a cave?
Yes, Precious. I'm awfully sorry.
Sorry? What's there to be sorry about?
But
Precious,
don't you what realize...
are you saying?
Why, that'll be a lot more fun than living in a castle. I never did like those big old rooms anyway.
And it was true. To a girl used to sleeping in a castle, a cave was fun. Why, she even went out and helped gather straw for a bed. And she helped her father find some dry wood and build a big bonfire to keep them warm. And all night long, as she slept on the straw, her father and mother heard the girl who used to be so sad laughing in her sleep. They couldn't believe it.
It must be the straw, Sabrina,
said her father.
Yes, it must be the straw,
agreed the mother. And they went to sleep, wondering what the next day would bring. The next morning, they all woke up hungry as bears.
I wish I had something to eat. Anything.
Think of it. The little girl who never had to wish for food before, who only had to ring a bell and the servant would come with a whole tray of the tastiest delicacies, which she hardly ever touched, now wished she had something to eat. Anything.
Even spinach.
Even spinach.
I'm sorry, Precious. We just don't have anything to eat. Not unless we can catch some fish.
Our own breakfast and cook it and eat it?
I'm afraid so, dear.
Wow, when do we begin?
And using one of her safety pins for a hook and tying it on a string she found, she helped her father catch a whole mess of fish, which she cooked and ate as though she'd never tasted anything so good before.
Yum, yum, yum.
And so the days went by. Days in which her father and mother would look out over the water, hoping to see someone who discovered what had happened to them and come for them. But there were days, too, in which Precious, who never seemed happy when she'd had everything, now took delight in the simplest little thing she found.
Look, Dad.
What is it, Precious?
A little stone. A pretty pink and white stone I picked up along the beach. Did you ever see anything so beautiful?
Another day, she stuffed an old white stocking she found with sand. And tied a string under the toe to make a neck and drew a face on it and said,
don't you think this is the loveliest doll in the whole wide world?
And still another day, she built a little hut of tree bark and some old wood that floated into shore. And when, after a lot of huffing and puffing, she just barely squeezed herself in, she sighed,
this has got that big fancy dollhouse of mine the storm blew away beat a mile.
But there was one thing she did miss for a long while.
I hope I can have a pet.
But, Precious, you used to have a cat.
Meow.
A little dog.
A medium-sized dog.
And a big dog.
A canary.
A couple of hundred chickens.
Two or three ducks.
And a Shetland pony.
And a cow.
That you could milk by electricity.
And you never gave them a second look.
Just the same, I can hope for a pet, can't I?
Said Precious. And just at that very moment, this little girl, who used to walk all over the island and never hear anything, heard from the limb of a tree not far above this.
Oh, suppose he'd fly down if I threw some of the berries we picked today over to him?
Well, you can try if you like, dear.
And quicker than you can say... Precious threw some berries toward the plain old crow. Sure enough, he flew down from the tree to where the berries were, and he followed the berries right into her hand.
Oh, look, Mother, isn't it cute?
And that's how Precious came to have a pet. A pet she grew fonder of every day. As more days rolled by, and Precious added one new enjoyment to another, her father and mother began to wonder if Precious wanted to be rescued from the island at all. In fact, her father even said so.
Precious, I'm beginning to wonder if you want to be rescued from this island at all. Aren't you anxious to have a new castle, servants to serve your breakfast in bed, and hundreds upon hundreds of new toys and pets?
No, Daddy.
Well, you mean you aren't looking forward to all those wonderful things you used to have? Well, just because you've been such a good girl, we were going to buy you even twice as much.
No, Mommy, but I am looking forward to something.
What?
A tub full of warm water.
Just a tub full of warm water?
Soap.
Soap?
A clean dress.
A clean dress.
And a tube of toothpaste.
And a tube of toothpaste.
And you know what?
Know what?
I think if I had just those four things...
Yes?
I think I'd be the happiest girl in the whole world.
That's how having nothing changed the little girl who once had everything. And when the people on the main shore finally did discover that the storm had wiped out everything on Private Island and found a boat somewhere and came out to get them and said to her father...
Well, sir, I guess you're going to build a new castle and private keep out, huh? Get that little girl of yours everything her little heart desires again.
Guess what her father said. He said...
No, sirree. I'm just going to build my girl an ordinary house like anybody else's house. In an ordinary place like anybody else's place. The wise man was right. The reason my little girl was so unhappy was because she had everything. And because she had everything, she had nothing to hope for, wish for, or look forward to. And if you have nothing to hope for, wish for, or look forward to, how can you ever be happy?
So that's just what he did. He built Precious an ordinary house in an ordinary place. And he gave her no more than any other little boy or girl would have. And when she sneezed, a weak sneeze like this, they didn't send for any doctors. No, her mother simply said...
God bless you.
Like any other mother, and handed her a handkerchief and said...
Here, now blow your nose.
You know what? Just like it says in the storybooks, Precious, the little girl who was never happy with everything, lived happily ever after.
Living 1948 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Scripts for the series are written by Lou Hazem. Our young lady was Miss Joan Lazer. Your narrator was Ben Grauer. Music for the series is conducted by Milton Kadams. This program is directed by Jack Cuney. We invite you to keep abreast of the times by listening next week when Living 1948 becomes the first chapter of Living 1949. It's a wonderful Sunday on this station. Yes, 2.5 hours of fun when you keep tuned right where you are. And remember, next week, Horace Height moves into the number one spot while Fred Allen drives up to your home a half hour earlier than usual. Hear them tonight and every Sunday over most of these stations. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.